This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 109. Tom, hello.
Hi.
Mick, hello.
Oh, hi, Leah.
Mick, I don't know if you know this, but you're not leaving this office for a whole week.
Are you going to lock me in here?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Can I just play with the Lego for a week?
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. I'm fine with that. I mean, I avoid the family for a week too.
It's win, 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 win. Yeah, because next week, Boxing Day, we're going to have an amazingly... Well, I hope it's going to go well. Amazingly exciting game show movie quiz.
I have a feeling it may be a touch chaotic.
Yeah, they usually are. If you have more than three people.
And it might be Christmas party adjacent.
Yeah.
So there could be a few.
They don't call it the silly season for nothing.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
You get a bit silly this time of year. Everyone does.
Giggles.
Giggle juice.
Giggle juice. You should copyright that. I really like that. Yeah, so listen out on Boxing Day for that, because I suspect Boxing Day afternoon, people will be like, oh, I've eaten way too much food. I got to go for a walk by myself because I don't want to talk to anyone. Download the podcast, have a listen. Hilarity will ensue.
You've got it all planned out.
It will be a great podcast to look at shit gifts from other people too. You can sit there and be like, oh, what have
I done? And to yell at the podcast going, I know the answer to that, you idiots. I presume. We'll see.
Yeah, I reckon that's what's going to happen. I really do. We've also got a quiz today as well.
Today?
Ooh. That one, this one will be Christmas themed. I think you guys can work together.
Okay.
Because in the spirit of Christmas, let's not make it too competitive.
All right. That's fine with me.
Yeah, it's like when the Grinch when Jack Skellington and Santa, they team up at the end. I'm all for that.
Or Santa and Satan when they get together. And
yeah.
Sorry.
Clerical errors.
I get those
errors.
Mixed up all the time as well. They're exactly the same. Tom, do you want to kick off the news?
Yes, a very quick one. Mm. We've been talking about a show called Making It for a couple of weeks. It's a woodworking and arts and crafts construction competition show. We've found out that it's airing in Australia from January 3rd on Foxtel.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and that'll be season one.
Yep.
They haven't said exactly when season two will be, but we assume it will be not long after that. So everyone that's been hanging for that, it's coming.
Yeah. You also can't just say that it's a woodworking show. You've got to give Mick the names.
Oh, it's Nick Offerman and Amy Poehler are the two hosts from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, amazing. I've been looking forward to this as well. I didn't realize it was going to be on Foxtel, so that's good to know.
So, this is season one, which I think is from mid-2018. I don't know. They took a while between seasons and stuff like that, but, yeah, they're going to pump that out pretty quick.
Awesome.
A reason to have Foxtel, I guess.
It's not many.
We're running out.
Look, this was a reason to have Amazon Prime, but American Gods is going to go into their third season. It looks like there's a bit of a shake-up, though. They're getting rid of Orlando Jones, who played Mr. Nancy from season one and two. The new showrunner is sort of gone. We don't need that character anymore. And Orlando Jones didn't take it well. He went to his either Twitter or Instagram and did a bit of a rant about it.
Ooh.
Would not name names, but said the new showrunner. And is no longer on the show. So I wonder how different. Firstly, I wonder how many other characters are also going.
Apparently, most of them.
Interesting.
Yes. So he's reacted quite poorly to this news. Some background on this. So it was Brian Fuller's show at the first season and everyone loved it. And then at the end of that season, Brian Fuller left. And so Gillian Anderson left and Kristen Chenoweth left and a lot of the people that people really liked. The new showrunners came on and things were so problematic that they were pretty much fired before they started production on episode 10.
Jeez.
And someone different was brought in for that. During all this period, a lot of the characters, scripts were so poor for them and stuff like that, that they were encouraged to write their own lines. So Orlando Jones ended up getting a producer credit because he wrote for so many of the, we'll say, other ethnicity characters on the show.
Yeah, right.
So he became a voice for that. Now, at the end of season two and leading into season three, it looks like they're going to be adapting part of the storyline where Shadow, the main character, pretty much hangs out in one town for the season. So they don't need all these other characters. It's also come out that the cab driver who was like a genie, he's not brought back. They've let his contract and stuff. It's unusual that people are let go from their contracts if they're not being used. There was a season of Lost where Claire, the Australian girl, wasn't on. They still kept her on retainer. You know what I mean? It was part of her contract that she was on for 6 years. For her to not be on for a year and then to bring her back, they still have to keep financially reimbursing her and stuff like that. So I understand why they'd let people go, but that's a huge knock for what might be later. And I don't think they've got any faith that they're going to have a season 4 or anything
it
more.
It sounds like they're like struggling, right? Like money wise, maybe the budget's been cut. And if you're sitting, also when you're sitting a season in one place, I always feel like that's a pretty good reason or example of them running, being short of money. I think the Walking Dead season where they're all stuck in that one place in the farm, whatever, the whole time.
Yeah, in the farm, Herschel's farm.
It just felt like, okay, they didn't get a lot of money this season. So they're just like doing what they can. And then they manage to get the money and they keep on going, but I guess we'll wait and see.
So there's a bit of that. There's also Orlando Jones, his character, Mr. Anansi, or Anansi, the spider god. He is very inflammatory. And the stuff he says, you know, he came across on one of the slave ships and he represents that and is vitriol at all
times.
He's
from the book, isn't he? I vaguely recall, I wonder how Neil Gaiman is going with all of this.
I don't think he's involved at all.
Isn't he?
He went off and made Good Omens and had a great time by all accounts. Right.
But that's Amazon Prime as well, isn't it?
It is.
So he's obviously got his hand all through Amazon stuff, but American Gods was such a huge book for him. To see it sort of go like this must be a little disheartening, if anything.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Wanted. Elves who can do elf things in freezing conditions. Hello. My name is Mrs. Claus and my husband and I are after a number of helpers to start ASAP in our toy workshop and distribution centre in the North Pole. We are after capable engineers, computer engineers, carpenters, welders, switch makers, seamstresses, wrapping paper masters, reindeer handlers, and a beard trimmer. Must be willing to wear tights. No time wasters. To apply, email your resume to hr@santacorporation.cold.
You know, I love vacation, Christmas vacation especially.
Who doesn't?
Every year.
It hasn't happened yet, but I know it's going to at some point in the next week. Johnny Galecki, who was in the third one.
He was Rusty.
He's going to be producing, I don't know if it's exec producing, but he's producing a vacation TV series for HBO Max.
Is he going to be in it?
Well, they haven't said whether he'll be in it. They haven't said exactly when it will be based on. Uh-huh. Like, is this going to be back in the 80s or 90s, or is it going to be the most recent vacation film that was following Rusty's family? But what it's meant to be, apparently, in the series, and this is what happens with the Griswolds after their vacation. So it's just a sitcom.
So it's vacation.
Home vacation.
It's a staycation. That was simultaneous. That was nice. So I think, look, I love those characters. That could be a lot of fun if they keep that wicked, not quite PG vibe that they had back in the 80s movies and stuff like that, or you know.
Yes, it was my awakening. European vacation.
Oh, yeah. When they're in Germany, I remember.
Go to the market. Everyone remembers.
It was a memorable moment. But I didn't mind the last vacation movie with Christina Applegate. It was actually quite funny.
There's some funny bits in it.
Yeah. The car
Hemsworth
was ridiculous. That's right. Chris Hemsworth was
the bit
memorable.
That gives me faith that it could be something quite different is that it's for HBO Max. So that log line sounds like it could easily be an ABC sitcom or that sort of thing, or like a Roseanne back in the day. But HBO Max means they can swear.
Yep.
They can have nudity.
They can go really wrong.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah, it can get really raunchy. So they can kidnap a security guard and force him onto rides, which is my dream theme park visit, I'll be honest. No one else in there.
But do you want the
John
security?
Candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want the ghost of John Candy.
Okay.
Inside Slimer.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot going on there, but I'm understanding.
Unpack it as you like.
You know that meme that you see a lot of, like the desperate housewife shouting at someone?
Yes. Yeah.
And then it's the cat when they've made the cat look like it's crying. Well, they made the shouting lady Slimer.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yeah, I thought that was quite a funny one. She just stuck her head on slime as she's screaming at someone. It was very funny. Oh, look, controversial stuff, and I think both of you are going to be really, really upset, but PewDiePie from YouTube, he's going to take next year off.
Fair. Oh, gosh. Just a year, really? Come on, just a bit more.
He said he's really tired.
That's fair enough. He's been pumping out a lot of stuff for a long time.
Yeah, actually, I reckon he'll probably enjoy it so much that he might not come back. But how much money has he made?
Like, he must. Doesn't he have 100 million or something subscribers?
He probably doesn't need to do anything ever again.
I don't think so. I think he's good.
Yeah.
Didn't he start off as just a reactionary gamer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see him becoming a DJ or something like that. He's got all this money. He can just hang out, not be a great DJ, but just be a fun DJ.
People are still going and watch him.
I bet you he's making a film.
I bet you he's
taking a year off.
Like a doco?
But self-financing?
Probably.
Like a true passion project?
I bet you he is. I bet you he's just not going to reveal it until the year off and then he's going, this is what I've been working on.
Either that or another game because he's done a few games before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like one of them's very popular.
Is it like a mobile? Yeah. Okay. So it's I was also thinking he's probably still going to get quite a lot of money from all the videos that are up. Because his fans are going to go back and watch all of them whilst they have no new ones to watch. So he could fund whatever his project is for 2020 with the money that he's making from YouTube in 2020.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Is there a way to know how much money a YouTube star makes? Like, by how many streams they get? Or is it all based on subscription levels and I don't know. How does it work?
Mainly it's based on their bragging.
Yeah.
A lot of them will share.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, from Spotify, you can sort of tell by how many streams they've got as to how much money they've made. But I wasn't sure if it was that easy with YouTube or not.
Yeah. It depends on if they're sponsoring their content, if they're pushing it out and spending money to get it in front of eyeballs.
True.
How often they're uploading, whether they're live streaming. There's a whole bunch of things.
And I would imagine different sorts of commercials would give them more money.
Yes.
I was just thinking purely how much YouTube pays based on the sponsorship they get from them.
The difficulty with knowing with guys like him is that he has pay-to-play deals with developers and companies. So you can pay $50,000 to get him to do an 8-minute video about your new release game.
We should make a game.
or be good enough to talk about games. So people will pay to play them. That'd be the best. Pay to play.
$50,000 a week for saying stuff about a game.
No, $50,000 for 8 minutes.
Oh. All right.
I mean, of course, there's a lot of editing. Myself. He was playing the game, editing, all this sort of stuff. Yep. But yes.
Interesting.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
So there's some whispers of a secret Marvel and Star Wars show that is happening for Disney Plus.
Of course there is.
Wait, you mean like
working together, Lucasfilm and Marvel together.
Universes combined.
Well, Marvel already puts out all the Star Wars comic books.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So they've been going for many, many years, but they rebooted basically everything when Disney took over.
Mm-hmm.
And have been telling stories that tie in at different points. And their big Star Wars storyline has been set between the end of New Hope and the beginning of Empire Strikes Back. So basically the journey to Hoth.
Mm.
And they've told all sorts of cool stories in there, but there's been one big breakout character, which is named Dr. Aphra, Chelly Aphra. And she's an archaeologist, genius scumbag.
Right.
Is she the one that hangs out with evil C-3PO?
Yes. Oh, so she has an evil C-3PO called 000 and BT, which is her R2 unit, and both of them had their programming hacked, basically. So
by her?
No. She doesn't know where, and they threaten her just as much as anybody else. So she's constantly on the run from them as well.
Right.
But they're murderous droids. And so see the 000, the C-3PO type guy has scalpel fingers. And
it's like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's obsessed.
Except he'll slice you open and take out your kidney just as instead of your hair.
So sweet.
He likes to slice people open and put proximity bombs inside them so that they can't.
Oh, that's even worse.
They can't leave him.
Oh, what?
Like he's desperate for.
That's one way to keep friends.
Yeah, he's really, really odd.
This is very different to mainline Star Wars.
Yeah, and the R2 unit is basically just four rocket launchers inside.
So you reckon this is going? These are going to be the characters that somehow mix really in with Marvel? Hope so. Who do you reckon from Marvel?
No. When I say Marvel, there's no Marvel characters.
Because can you imagine? Phew!
Yeah.
No. I was really worried.
I was trying to figure out how it was going to happen. Like if Captain Marvel was going to, because she flies around a lot, doesn't she?
Oh, look, I would love to see a fight between Magneto and Darth Vader of a force manipulator versus a metal manipulator. I think that would be very cool. One of them is half cyborg, blah, blah, blah. It's not that. So there's not Marvel characters in there, but it's Marvel comic book writers.
Making Star Wars TV series for Disney Plus.
Yes. So these are the guys that have been writing Star Wars stories for years and filling in gaps and this sort of stuff. And this character, Dr. Aphra, is amazing. And she screws over everyone. She is an evil, she's the most morally gray character I can think of. If you had Indiana Jones combined with Han shoots first Han. It's that sort of thing. Like she screws over everybody in her life constantly just to try and stay alive. She
sounds like a Dina and Patsy from Absolutely Fabulous, but if they had weapons.
Well, she gets trapped at one point and basically becomes Darth Vader's lapdog.
Right.
Yeah. And finds her way out of that situation straight into a much worse one and over and over and over.
So is this going to, do you reckon what they'll do with this series is make it like Mandalorian, or will it be animated? Because I'd prefer it Mandalorian-like.
From what I hear, live action.
Awesome.
Because I was wondering what they'd step up to next.
There's all sorts of stuff. So because she's an archaeologist, she finds ancient Jedi temples.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, like, that's the only, there's no Force users. She knows she's about Lara Force Croft. Stuff. But at one point.
There's another crossover.
They do bring her up a fair bit.
No way.
At one point, she finds this sentient fungus. Like this weird like fungus that shoots out spore clouds.
Last of Us now.
And that turn out to be, it was inside a Jedi temple where bodies were buried and like the Force or the midichlorians, whatever you want to call it, seeped out of them into these mushrooms. Whoa. And so you can have like, there's a Force cloud that's 100 different Jedi user ghosts. And like, what the fuck? It's a weird comic. Yeah. It would make for a great show.
It's got all of the stories.
Yes.
Amazing.
And that's set very much Stormtrooper, Darth Vader period, that sort of stuff.
So Empire, we've still got a while, I would imagine, for this show to even have a trailer.
Oh, look, they haven't got a cast.
Okay.
They might, but they haven't announced everything.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get Mandalorian season 2 first.
Okay.
Because that's apparently almost finished filming, if not already finished filming.
They were very confident.
Well, they're also doing very short seasons, 8-episode seasons.
Mm.
Yeah, you can get away with it now. It's not gone are the days of 24 episodes where you have to bank on like a lot of money to make a one season. Now,
absolutely.
It's like pump a few out.
Yep,
three seasons in one. Oh, you're not extending this anymore? That's all right. We just did 3 years worth.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's what Rick and Morty have done. They've been paid for 100 episodes and they're just going to drop them 4 or 5 at a time every couple of months or every few weeks.
Okay.
As soon as they're ready, just
awesome.
Yeah.
That's very clever. Like to be able to organize that as your contract.
Do you remember when Charlie Sheen had that contract for anger management, the follow-up he did to 2.5 Men? And his contract was 100 episodes.
Whoa. Like, how many did they make?
100 episodes.
They actually did 100.
Did they really?
Yeah. Like 4 years
ago? The show.
Yeah, he built a production company around this so they could make it. And it was.
That's wild. I don't even remember this show.
I vaguely remember it. I think it was on late on Channel 7. Nine.
Selma Blair was on it for a while.
Was she?
Okay. Interesting.
She left because of him.
She'd had enough. Now, speaking of Disney Plus, they're looking like they want a remake. Do you remember the movie Tom Hanks did with the dog, Turner and Hooch?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
So they think of remaking that but into a series. So it's not going to be the movie, it's going to be a series. And he played a cop in it.
Yeah,
and
I think the canine dog thing.
Because there was a movie at the same, it was another movie around the same time. I think it had Jim Belushi that called Canine.
Yes.
Yeah, Canine. That's what I was thinking of. Well, yeah.
So my mind is a little hazy as to which storyline was which, but I think the Turner and Hooch one was more lighthearted.
It was a baddie. The dog chased him. Then it got in trouble. The dog nearly died. No, I'm just making this up. I'm pretty sure the plots are the same.
I'm 100% sure you're spot on with that.
And then the dog saves the day.
Yeah.
And then and is the hero.
There has to have been a bit with a collar coming off and a dog catcher, right?
Sure.
Every dog movie I've ever seen has that.
And the dog falls into the water at some point. I'm sure.
And Tom Hanks's love interest ends up having a dog that looks exactly like Tom Hanks' dog, and then they would have puppies.
They both have dogs.
And then there's an awkward moment when there's a love scene between the human characters and the dog sits awkwardly panting at the side of the bed.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but yes.
It could have gone worse. I pulled back from where I was going.
So that's another one to look out for.
I'm just waiting for all of these classic 80s films to be made, rebooted. I mean, they're doing them. Mm. I've been doing them for years, but I die when they do Goonies. That's it. I'm over. I'm done.
What? No,
I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree, because it's perfect as it is. And it wasn't Goonies that they were talking about earlier this year. It was Princess Bride. Do you remember? Yeah. They were talking about that and everyone was saying no.
I don't believe you when you say that about Goonies.
What do you mean?
Like, I just
Goonies never say die.
Oh, amazing.
Got me. Sorry. You got me.
Turns out it's easy being green. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right. I got two last new ones for you.
Yeah.
One, John Mulaney, who's been killing on Netflix with some great specials. This is stuff, very funny guy. He has a special coming out I think December 24th or something, like a Christmas special that's called John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch.
That's not a – it's not an easy thing to say. I don't want to try and say that.
Sack Lunch Bunch.
But he has gotten like a really good choreographer and like all these top talent kids and put together a proper Christmas special with like Jake Gyllenhaal and all these big celebs. So it's kind of in that Bill Murray and the Michael Bolton Christmas specials they've done. This year they've got John Mulaney doing
one. Okay, cool.
And he's got the right voice – if you need to remember him, he's voiced Spider Ham in Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh.
He's the sassy pig.
Awesome.
Yes.
That's a good voice.
I love a good sassy pig Christmas Eve special.
I know. It's going to be an odd.
Especially while you're eating ham.
And a big surprise is, you remember that show earlier this year that I really enjoyed called Miracle Workers, which was Daniel Radcliffe as not an angel, but someone who works in heaven, and Steve Buscemi as God, and Buscemi decides that he's sick of us and he's going to end the world in 7 days.
Sure.
And Radcliffe has to help some humans fall in love and show God that that humans are worthwhile and this sort of stuff.
Oh.
It's a weird show.
I haven't seen that.
It's very, very odd. It finished and wrapped up, and I was like, okay, that's it. It won't come back. It's coming back in like February. I don't know how.
So he has to reconvince him.
No. It's called Miracle Workers Dark Ages, and it's nothing to do with God anymore. They're now back in medieval times.
Wow. Oh.
And Steve Buscemi and Daniel Radcliffe are both peasants.
What?
And Peter Serafinowicz is in this one, I think, as the king.
Is this like some sort of Quantum Leap thing?
It feels like it. So this is the guy that did Man Seeking Woman. He's done a bunch of weird shows in the past, and he comes up with very high concept things and then puts very banal characters right into this high concept.
Four episodes. All right. I'm looking. I like these when they – it's like Blackadder in a Day, or they jumped different eras and then had the same characters but playing different same actors playing different characters, different times. It worked for that. I don't know how this will work.
Oh, look, sounds fun. If it's a comedy version of American Horror Story where they switch up every year, I'm pretty down with it.
Cool.
So a bit of an anthology. But yeah, and Peter Serafinowicz. I love that man.
Yes.
And it's a great name to say.
Isn't it? It's a difficult name to read out.
Yeah. But once you get it
and you're like,
I don't want to say that. I'm not going to say he's in it.
Peter S.
Should we get Tom to try and say my surname?
Yeah, go on.
You don't know how it's spelled, do you?
No.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't work, doesn't help. Does it?
No. We'll do it afterwards.
All right.
It's okay.
Cool.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
That's enough news. Get out of my house. Get off my lawn.
All right. Well, we've got a Christmas quiz coming up for us very soon, but let's crack into our top five and a couple of honourable mentions of stuff that we've watched or read or played over the year. Mm. And I think we can all say, whilst it seemed like a good idea to do five, it was very difficult to whittle it down once you started to think about the stuff that you'd actually
Yep.
Consume.
It's really hard. Those last couple of spots, you think, oh, this could be in there. Oh, no, that could be in there. Oh, but I've really got to put that in there. And then you end up with five things that really got to be in there.
Yeah.
And then other things that you think, oh, they probably should be in there too.
That's really bad.
Five's really hard. But I struggled this time of year with lists. I'm a list person. I do like lists and I enjoy compiling them, but I just stress myself out too much doing them. Oh, no. No,
we didn't stress you with this. No. Like, phew.
I don't really get that stressed out. But, you know, I like to think about it, really think. Who loves like recapping the year and going, oh, what did I really enjoy this year?
Yeah.
Straight away you go, oh, wait up. What were they? I'm going to forget all in it, remember them all. It takes a little while. I actually go look at other people's lists. I'll cheat a little bit just so I can look and see what I've missed. And all of a sudden I go, of course, that was great. Why did I forget that?
That was me doing this list. I had to look at what we'd spoken about during the year. And there was stuff that I went, how did I forget I watched that? I really enjoyed that at the time. Yeah. So maybe what we'll do is we'll all do a couple of honourable mentions and then we'll all do 5, 4, 3 and we'll have a bit of a discussion as we go through. So I think we'll go with our guest, Mick, first. What were your two honourable mentions that almost made the list but didn't quite?
For me, this year was about a lot of seasons that were not the first seasons of things, but like the second, third, final seasons of things. Of course, Game of Thrones final season was all earlier in the year, of course, but it was massive and it was huge it was dark, literally. And I didn't put it in my top five because I thought, look, we've had many seasons of it, but I still think it was worthy of being mentioned because of just what an epic final season it was. Like cramming it into, what was it, six episodes?
Six in the end.
Which wasn't enough. We all know that. They should have done 10. Everyone agrees, but they were just like thinking, oh, we'll just make these epic long episodes.
Yeah, they wanted them the big blockbuster.
And I think everyone agrees they could have done it better. It wasn't amazing, but there were third and last and second last episodes, they were just monumental TV. Like nothing will – I can't think of anything that's going to top that in terms of size and just impressiveness. In the near future.
The two Winterfell sort of ones you're talking about, like exactly, the night before tells. And then the, I'd have to say those two were pretty impressive.
So for me, that was definitely an honourable mention. Mm. I can't see another show surpassing Game of Thrones in the near future.
Agreed.
Huge.
Well, one of my honourable mentions was for Derry Girls, which was still is an Irish comedy about teenage girls set in the 90s. And while sometimes you look at what they're wearing and you go, they're all wearing stuff from different years in the 90s, but I don't want to get too pedantic.
Wow, you picked that.
Yeah, because that's when I grew up. That's like when I was wearing those clothes. But it was so funny and there were bits in it that were like I had no idea that in Irish weddings everybody sat on the floor and sang Rock the Boat.
That was amazing.
I had no idea
I
that
looked
was
that
a
up
thing.
Straight away.
Me
and,
too.
And it's like us doing the Nutbush in Australia. Yeah. It's like doing the Rock the Boat thing in Ireland. And it's a thing. Like I've got an Irish friend who says, oh, yeah, we do that. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And that so song, weird. I keep on hearing that song everywhere now. What's the song? I can't
rock
remember.
Rock the Boat.
But my wife's like, oh, you've heard that song before. I was like, I don't think I've ever noticed it before.
Yeah, I think I'd blocked it out of my mind until then. Yeah, so that was one of my honourable mentions, Tom.
I'm going to cheat and put three together. But it's with a topic. I've said it before. This was an amazing year for comic book television growing up. And so I'm giving a honourable mention.
Honourable?
Yes. To Doom Patrol / Umbrella Academy / The Boys.
Okay.
Mm. They're all from streaming. They're all very, very weird. And I loved all of them. I can't believe that The Boys turned into a TV show. I can completely believe that Umbrella Academy did. And Doom Patrol was one of the biggest surprises of the year for me. If I thought it'd be rubbish because Titans was rubbish, but Doom Patrol was great.
Can you separate them? Like, which one do you like best?
The Boys.
Boys, yeah.
Yep.
You did rave about that one, I remember.
I watched it all in one block. I mean, I did the same with the Umbrella Academy, but The Boys is the most superhero-hating thing that's ever been made. It's great.
It's a good thing to have. What's your other honourable mention?
Well, just quickly, I'm going to ruin for later, but Derry Girls is actually in my top five of other ones.
Brilliant.
Like, I just thought, we don't have to talk about it later because I just think the second season was so much better than the first season.
Agreed.
And it just developed – the characters developed in the first season. The second season just took it next level. Mm. But it's just such a heartwarming show as well.
It really is.
But enough about that. The other thing that really shocked me and just recently just wrapped up is this show called Years and Years with Gillian Anderson as – this sort of dystopian future leader for the four-star party. You think of four stars and you think of what those stars could represent, letters, and basically just giving a big FU to the standard two parties system. And it's set now. Have you, either of you guys seen it?
No, I was not sure whether to watch it because it felt too real.
It is very real and scary, and you just can't stop watching it.
Yeah, right.
But the way they do it is they just fast forward through the years quite quickly using like news bulletins and flashes and stuff like that. But it's all based on around one family. Really clever writing and just, yeah, but just scary as hell. And it's all stuff that can happen and probably will happen. And we just saw Boris Johnson win the election and he's talking about restricting the license for BBC, like basically saying BBC may – he might pull back funding for them because they don't agree with him. This is exactly what happened in the show. That BBC basically went off air because the Prime Minister just couldn't, didn't like them. So I think we're just going to start seeing more and more parallels with this show. And it also, it was really talking about technology and how people were using more technology in their bodies and stuff and how everyone was dealing with that, all the foods that were going extinct, the animals. It was, it is a full-on show, but I thought it was really cool. And Gillian Anderson, like, It wasn't Gillian Anderson. It was
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson, who everyone loves. She's this prime minister that everyone starts to hate. And I've never seen her in my more hated role, but she does it. She does it well. I recommend watching it. Just don't watch it when you're a little bit sensitive. But
and maybe not binge it.
No, you can't binge it. It came out week by week on SBS On Demand, and that was a good way to do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just enough. Yeah. Well, my second honourable mention is Russian Dolls. That was on Netflix, I think. I really enjoyed that. It was Groundhog Day. But each time the day happened, I won't give too much away, it just got stranger and she was not coping with any of it. And they're doing a second series and I don't know how they're going to do that. But it was really good and I watched that in probably about 2 or 3 days.
I did my head in. I watched the first 2 episodes in a row and I was just like, what's going on? It was freaking me out.
What about her friend who's doing the chicken at her party?
Yes.
She says the same thing literally.
Over and over.
I think
and
she
over.
Would have had to have said it 50 times in the season. Each time it was a different take as well. Okay. It was a weird show, but I was sucked in. But having said that, now I can't remember exactly what happened.
It was early in the year.
Yeah, maybe April-ish.
Yeah, I feel like I watched the first two or maybe even third episode and I thought, where is this going?
I can't cope.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I tried.
Yeah.
But honourable mention.
My other honourable mention is a Japanese horror comedy film called One Cut of the Dead. It came out in Japan, I think, in like 2017. And it's taken a long, long time to get any international release. And it showed for like a week in the States earlier this year and it finally hit iTunes and stuff 2 weeks ago. And I had been told back then from some people that saw it, do not look into this movie. Do not find out about this movie. Just watch.
So just to go in cold.
Yeah. And I'm so glad I did. Half an hour. The film starts with a terrified girl being attacked by a zombie and then the director yelling cut and coming in and berating her for doing a shit job. And this is all one take. And then you suddenly realize that this whole movie is one take about people filming a zombie film when zombies really attack.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So they are acting poorly when they're suddenly being ripped apart for real and then it turns really real.
Oh, wow.
And they're going, that's a really good take. Oh, whoops.
So that's the first 5 minutes. I will not tell you.
Okay.
The switch that happens at about the 35th minute or something like that blew my mind.
What's it called again?
One Cut of the Dead. So one cut as in one take.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a brilliant film. And like it looks crappy and bits of it you'll be like, that is poor acting. Why is this going on? And you will find out. And it
cool.
Very, very intricately written.
Okay.
Yeah. It's great.
All right.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
Let's get into the proper top five now.
All right.
I do suspect, I reckon out of the two of you, I might have a couple similar to you, Mick.
Well, you already got Derry Girls. Yeah, so we can chop that one off. Like I said, second season was great. You have to put the captions on, though, Derry Girls.
Oh, it's a very thick accent.
I couldn't do it without subtitles.
And they're also using a lot of slang.
Yep, there's local slang in there for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't like watching things with subtitles. My wife does because she's lazy. But I like to
watch them. I like the challenge.
Watch them talking and you miss something if you're reading the subtitles. You don't see what they're doing or looking at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so that's my number five. So, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Yep. I did have a bit of trouble figuring out where to put that on my list. So, okay, the one that I've got for my top five is Afterlife, the Ricky Gervais show. That was phenomenal.
See, this is one I knew I loved and I just didn't get it on my list.
His character arc is lovely in that show, and there are bits where you feel super sad and there are other tiny, tiny little bits that just make you feel really happy. And
so well written.
So well written.
And, it makes you just think of – like it makes everyday situations feel sort of – you know, things that you complain about every day just feel so – silly.
Why are we worrying about it?
Yeah. Like, there's so many more important things in life to focus on. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Good pick.
It was a great show.
Second season coming soon.
Yes.
Cannot wait.
Me, same.
Nice. My number five is, and you know it's my least favorite name to try and say, but here we go. Gendy Tartak. Every time.
You're the one that put it in there.
I know. His show Primal, which was a 6-episode animated. This is the guy that made Dexter's Laboratory and Samurai Jack. Mm-hmm. And he made this, it was an event show. Oh, sorry, not six, it was five episodes, more, I think, of a one of the last dinosaurs befriending one of the last first cavemen.
Oh, wow.
And it is savage and brutal. There's no talking throughout. It's all just music cues and animation reactions and stuff like that. And it made me feel things.
Mm. Wow.
Yes.
I'm going to look this up.
It is well worth it. Amazing. It is a study in survivor's guilt.
Yep.
And grief and mediating suicide and all sorts of things, but told without words using a caveman and a dinosaur.
Some people are clever.
And you're saying the music sort of enhances it, right?
Like, very much so.
Who's composed it? Is it just
I can't even remember who it is, but it's someone that's worked on some of the Star Wars animated series and things like this, but it's a beautiful orchestral, big, powerful primal music. In someone else's hands, they'd use chunky dubstep and modern music and stuff, whereas this, it's like Fantasia. It's that sort of thing. It's something that makes you feel emotionally only with music and reaction. It was beautiful.
So, where do I find Primal, Tom?
I have seen it. Oh, I scored it from iTunes. It was made by the Cartoon Network, so it may be on Foxtel as well.
Okay, I'll look out for that for sure. Mm. Excellent. I'm educating myself.
our top five plus two honorary mention list is now getting longer. What was your four? Fourth.
It's another British TV show which was on Netflix this year called Sex Education.
I watched that.
And this is the one I had Gillian Anderson in my head for. And it was a real surprise hit, I think. And I didn't expect much of it. You know, another teen show, which I don't think I'm going to connect to, blah, blah, blah. But just the way they told the stories and the characters in there were just so good. I loved that it was set in a strange time as well.
I couldn't figure it out for a while because they dressed almost like they were American students from the 80s or 90s, but then it was in England and they had phones.
Okay.
Yeah, they did. But it goes off in a few different paths. Of course, the boy, I can't remember the boy's name, but he's basically finds that he's good at giving sex advice to other kids, even though he's not really had sex at all.
And but, has a few hang-ups.
A few, but just really clever. And it just introduces us to some of these characters and actors who are just going to go on to big careers, I think. Especially the girl with the multicolored hair, who, again, I can't remember.
Oh, she was great. And his friend as well, the gay guy who was struggling with his family and school. And
oh, that's right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. There's a lot of angles and a lot of different storylines. But yeah, what a surprise hit for me this year. I really loved it.
Gillian Anderson was amazing, as you can imagine. Yeah. Well, my fourth was the season four of Utopia, which is amazing. And the reason I put it there is because each week I was excited to watch the episode.
Sure. Yeah.
And each week I remembered when it was on actual television.
That's a very good indicator.
It's a big thing. And as someone who hasn't worked, you know, within a government agency that's building infrastructure and whatnot.
I have. That's so accurate. It's scary.
That's what my friends who work, yeah, exactly. Everybody that's worked anywhere near that sort of department says that's exactly how it is. It's almost a documentary, not a comedy.
Exactly. And that's what those guys do so well, the old cattle dog team who've been involved. Or actually, I wouldn't even say it's just them, but like other shows like The Game, which was about the Olympic Games.
Right, The Game.
Which was so good. And the Hollow Men, I think it was, Hollow Men, which was Robert Sitch as well, and those guys, they're set in Parliament House.
That's right.
They've done their research. They've got people working on it who have actually been in these situations.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's amazing. I'm glad you picked that. It's good to see
it was a good
show
one.
Get in there too.
And the fact that there's been four seasons.
Yeah. And they sort of space them out, right? They're not every year. It's like every second year.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think there was one last year because – I watched the first two seasons, I think it was just on iView, like quite a few years ago, and they're both there, and I just binged them because they were so funny. I was doing a jigsaw puzzle at the time. That was good. Cool. Number four for you, Tom.
All right, I've done an emergency swap right now because, well, I had done my list differently, and I had put music my top music pick of the year, and I decided it doesn't warrant that on We Are the Watchers.
Fair enough.
So I'm subbing in.
Lucky you had reserves.
I got so many reserves, hey. I got like a second episode's worth of reserves, but I'm giving it right now to the resurgence of Adam Savage from Mythbusters.
Oh, yeah.
So Mythbusters, of course, busted up a couple of years ago. But this year he had Mythbusters Junior earlier in the year, which was a really great show. I enjoyed watching.
You enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, Shay and I watched that together, and it was great to see him excited about working with young builders and people wanting to know more about science. He was really, really involved and a great mentor to them. And then later in the year he's had a show called Savage Builds, which is, it's not him busting myths. It's him taking things from movies and going, I wonder if I could do that. So the first episode is building an Iron Man suit.
That's right. I saw that.
And he hovers.
What?
He hovers.
With air?
Yeah.
Like off his feet?
Off arms.
Off the arms.
As if it was a Star Wars car thing.
Yep. He has two jetpacks. Well, jet rockets on both wrists.
Okay.
And it basically makes your body behave like a tripod in the air.
Yeah,
so you've got to throw your legs back.
You have to have a fair bit of arm strength.
Yeah.
You would think.
It takes him a good 2 hours to be able to get off the ground with this thing. But they each episode, you know, there's one episode where he goes to New Zealand and hangs out with Peter Jackson, who owns one of the largest privately owned collections of World War II aircraft.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
He loves that sort of stuff. He's got a lot of World War II stuff and everything. Mm. But Adam helps him kit out two of these planes with lasers so that they can recreate.
Freaking lasers?
Well, they can recreate a 1917 dogfight in the air.
Wow.
And not blow each other out of the sky because they're not using real bullets, but they're using laser beams. So like playing laser tag dogfighting with planes over 100 years old.
Can you imagine how many people's dreams were made?
Yeah, the
pilots
would have loved that, I reckon.
They had a great time. So, yeah, that's what I say. The year that Adam Savage came back, he also put out a memoir this year that was not like a normal memoir. It was how to unlock your creativity sort of stuff.
All I can say is I hope he doesn't try and tackle things from Michael Bay films because that is just not going to happen.
No physics.
That's just impossible, man.
Near impossible. All right, number three.
All right, I'm going for a movie now.
Okay.
And this, look, I'm cheating a little bit. Not really. I saw this film 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
That totally counts.
And it gets into my top five because it is just something I've been waiting for all year and it really did stand up to what I expected. And that's Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, I see this.
Good, good, good.
And it comes out on Boxing Day around the country, but I got to a preview screening on the weekend and just so good. Amazing. Yeah. Taika Waititi, he nails it, and it's such a tricky subject to be making a film about, especially when I'm not going to spoil anything, of course, but the first 10 words in the movie are basically Heil Hitler. Actually, probably the first 100 words in the movie are Heil Hitler.
Yeah, really?
And you think about any film that does that and in a way that it's funny, like how do you do that?
Is this going to be are they going to release it in Germany?
Ooh.
I'm
actually, there's times when I'm grabbing the collar of my neck going, ugh.
Yeah, really?
Just thinking about people who may have been in World War II or anything to do with the Holocaust.
Mm.
You're just going, this is hitting close to home for a lot of these things. But, of course, he's very sensitive with the writing. He does you know, there are very sensitive parts in there, and it's sort of talking about it from both sides, from the nationalistic Germans and from obviously from a Jewish point of view, and then from the people in Germany who are trying to just, you know, free Germany. It's very cleverly written, and there's a lot of touchy subjects, but he nails it, and it's funny as hell. Awesome. He's just awesome. I don't want to say too much about it, but yeah, it got into my top five just purely because it's something I've been looking forward to so much, and it did not disappoint.
It lived excellent. Up. I mean, yes. Made to number three. Like, that's...
and it's because it's fresh in my brain too, yeah, you know? Yeah. And watching Taika Waititi with that little moustache...
I know, it looks ridiculous.
But he nails it, like, to be honest. Like, I there's one part where I think he's... And I don't even know this, but I feel like he's copying Hitler, like an actual speech of Hitler's. And it's like, whoa, you know, full on. But see if you can pick it, because...
Okay. Yeah. I do want to see that movie. I've had my eye on it ever since I saw the first trailer.
There's not much you can really spoil about it, but it's more just the reviews of it are sort of, you know, some of them are a bit, you know, they're saying, you shouldn't be touching these subjects and you can't make them funny and why is he trying to do that? It's a tough thing to do, but I think he did it.
Oh, your number three is so much. Okay, mine's Handmaid's Tale season 3.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. I had to make it in there. But there's one I think you think it's going to be in there, but it's not.
Absolutely Fabulous season 2.
How I Met Your Mother season 12. I don't know.
Oh, no, she talks about Ab Fab every week.
I've already done it.
Well, there we go. We've already mentioned
that. Yeah, that's right. But Handmaid's continues to... I mean, there was particularly that last episode of the season where, should I do spoilers?
I feel like we already did a spoiler episode.
I think we did too. And it was a while ago where the handmaids and the Marthas are helping children out of the country.
Yes.
That was so stressful to watch.
It was.
But it was amazing at the same time and to watch people take the risk for the future of mankind, of humans.
Totally. I was thinking about putting this in my list, more for the fact that it was just quite a slow season. I thought the first half of the season just took so long to get going.
A lot of people said that too.
And then obviously it built up and it was a really good ending, but it just didn't quite grab me like I think the first season did. The second one was okay too. But yeah, no, I'm still looking forward to seeing what's happening because it's just sort of a knife edge at the end as well. And the next season's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be so stressful.
Yeah, so you reminded me of that one too. And that was definitely up there for me, but didn't maybe leave that lasting impression.
Yeah, and there's so many things that we've watched. Number three for you, Tom.
My number three is Planet Zoo. If you've listened to the show before, you've heard me talk about it before.
How many hours have you played this, Tom?
About 100 hours this week.
Yep.
How's your zoo looking?
I keep starting new ones, but my one at the moment's pretty good. I've got a couple of grizzly bears that popped out like three cubs.
Wow.
Straight away.
Okay, so what other animals have you over all of your different iterations of the zoo managed to?
Got an albino zebra. It's just a horse.
Are they rare?
Bullshit.
Come on, if you tried to sell that to the marketplace, would that...
good cash. Good cash. Get some major leaves. That's what they call it. You can sell for cash or you get conservation credit leaves. Bring that hotness. I know I've had some hippos.
What makes this game the good though? Like why do you keep going back to it? Is it relaxing? Is it just...
No.
Satisfying.
It's the most micromanaging thing ever.
Oh.
Every animal has their own AI and wants to do their own thing and they fight. And if you have a male baby and it grows up, then it's going to try and kill its dad and all this sort of stuff. So you've got to manage all that. You've got to keep all the people happy. But
need more bins.
Well, you control
that's a puke. Yeah.
Everything. Like literally everything. If you want a rock there, you put it there. But if you want it halfway submerged in the ground, you put it there and you put trees on top of that and you build buildings piece by piece.
Now, I've watched some of this being played on Twitch because I wanted to know what the game was about. And it is super relaxing to watch someone else play it.
Okay.
Because they just make it. And I watched this girl from Canada and she spent ages putting rocks maybe it was a mountain lion or something like that. And she spent ages trying to put the rocks in the right place so that the snow would fall right.
I spent 2 hours carving out a lake once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just terraforming, get some good terrain happening and stuff like that. Smooth.
I love
that. Smooth.
No, I love games that are like where you can just sort of spend time just building stuff. It's sort of what Sims end up being where you make your own house. You spend all that time making your house rather than actually playing in it. So you spend all this time making the zoo. And is it like a real-time thing where you push play and then you just watch You
can do that plenty of times. I tend to pause, build something, and then let it play for a while.
Yeah.
Is that just to test it?
I have all these tiny exhibits, like animals in small things. So I've got a bunch of scorpions and spiders and stuff, and they breed every 2 or 3 months.
Oh.
And they'll have 40 babies that you can sell instantly for 15 grand. Boom. So it's just a money thing, and that covers...
I don't even get names.
Oh, they all have names, but I don't know who they are. But that money there literally covers... all the food for the bears and the wolves and
the scorpions. Yeah, right. Good money spin on the scorpions.
Exactly. Yeah, so you've got to have a few things.
Are there centipedes?
Yeah, there are. Huh. Burrowing snails, all sorts. But yeah, iguanas and anacondas.
Is there every bloody animal in the world in this game?
Not yet, but I'm so excited because there's a DLC dropping at about 3 a.m. tonight for the Arctic Pack, and I'm getting a polar bear and a caribou, aka reindeer, for Christmas. So I think it's also got an Arctic wolf and a type of sheep.
Oh, I reckon people are going to get the wolves.
Well, it's got over 200 new pieces of like Scandinavian village building items and stuff like that, totem poles. All this is.
Oh,
are you going to put that in your already established zoo, or are you going to start that a new one?
Probably both.
Okay.
It would fit in my one I've got going at the moment because it's called the Chill Zone. And I wanted a lot of cold environment animals there.
Can you make the people who visit the park get killed by a bear that escapes and then decides to rampage through and create havoc?
Kill? No. Escape? Yes.
Okay. But they don't go killing visitors to the park.
Oh, everyone runs quick.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay.
If you want that.
I'd be all about the chaos.
So if you want that, you want the game, the guys that made this Frontier, their last game was Jurassic World Evolution. And that's a theme park sim where you build Jurassic Park and the dinosaurs get out and... there are fantastic animations of a T-Rex running up, screaming at a guy. He falls over. He pins it with his foot and it just leans down and rips the top half off.
That's what I'm about.
Yeah.
Now you know what you want for Christmas.
Well, they just put out a DLC pack as well of Return Jurassic Park. Okay. And it's all, you know, you get the original visitor's center. And there's an Easter egg in there. If tropical storms go through. And if your visitor center gets destroyed by a tropical storm, the banner of when dinosaurs ruled the world or Earth is flapping out the top of the building.
That's a nice touch.
Yep. Cute. Love it.
That's my second favorite Jurassic Park Easter egg of the year. My number one was I built the Jurassic Park giant T-Rex and the gates. Mm. And when you start building the T-Rex, it leaves an open socket and you have to put a tiny little frog Lego in there because you remember they used frog DNA to
That's very clever.
That's so good.
That is the best reference that happened in anything
that's
this year.
That's so clever.
I loved that. That tickled me pink.
Gosh. Number two for you, Mick.
Okay. Another film. Another surprising one for me that I went and saw at the International Film Festival earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. Parasite.
Now, oh, yeah.
It's a huge film. And it is a South Korean film which is just taking the world by storm. Mm. I believe it's probably going to be in the top best picture list for the Oscars.
I think so.
I reckon. I'm pretty sure it's nominated for...
Golden Globe?
Yeah.
And Bong Joon-ho, who you might know from Skypiercer Okja, which was on Netflix.
And The Host.
And The Host, if you want to go there,
that's
yes.
One of my favorite movies ever.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. So you've loved him since then. And how long ago? That was
2007, maybe 8.
Yeah, right.
I dragged people along on my birthday to go and see that
So you've
movie.
Been a long-term fan of this guy. Yeah. But when I saw Parasite, and I'd already seen a couple of his films, I just sort of wasn't quite sure which angle he was going to go. But it's just such a cool story. The characters in it, you know, this whole family basically taking over someone else's life and house. It's a bit of a twisted ending. But I really loved it and just it sucked me in. And have him in the actual cinema as we watched it as well.
That's cool.
He came up and did a Q&A. It was really cool. So that was one of my highlights of the year for sure.
Yeah,
and his film. Parasite.
See, this is the kind of thing that you need to hear about because you may have forgotten that these things were out this year. Mm. You know, over January, people get a bit of time off and...
Yeah, I still feel Parasite didn't get enough mainstream release.
I think it might...
Maybe when it gets an Oscar, like nomination, it'll get out there, you know. But yeah, I think it's one of those films everyone would enjoy.
My number two, What We Do in the Shadows.
Hey, the TV show.
The TV show.
God.
Yeah.
How good was...
It's so good.
So clever. carries on from the movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you reckon it's funnier than the movie? Do you like it more?
I prefer it to the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would at the beginning, but once that council episode happened, I was like, this is the better one. Because those guys are still involved.
They are.
It's just, I can't believe they extended that world so wonderfully.
Yeah, and so unexpectedly too. All of a sudden there was just these, you're like, that's he's on Skype.
Yeah.
There's so much there. Yeah. So very funny. And Matt Berry, I love his voice so much. He could be in anything.
He does jazz albums.
What?
Oh, sorry. I thought this was this is the thing. He's been pumping out jazz albums since like 2004, and they are really weird, like William Shatner-esque jazz albums.
Of course they are.
Of him singing weird swing jazz.
Well, just with that voice.
I know exactly what I'm listening to on the way home tonight. That's, but yeah, What We Do in the Shadows. I've been trying to tell my mum about it, but she can't remember the name of it. Because it's quite long. So every time I say, have you watched What We Do in the Shadows? Because she loved Toast of London.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, oh, that's the name of it. I keep forgetting to watch it because I can't remember the name. Have you watched her? Oh, I've forgotten. So if she's listening, please write it down now. You love a list?
Yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows.
I will give a brief shout as well. I can't remember what it's called, but the NZ Paranormal Activity.
Wellington Paranormal. That's it.
How good was that show?
It's coming. Is this Christmas special coming out?
Christmas special.
Yeah.
That your joke about Santa versus Satan.
That's where it came
I think there's something in there about that.
There is. It's so good.
Okay.
I've seen them all, Satan.
Yes, I just watched the 3-minute clip of that bit.
Today. Okay, good.
It is amazing.
So is it coming? Is it out or is it coming out?
Coming out before Christmas.
Coming, yeah.
Okay. I have to keep an eye out. And if I haven't said anything, can you tell me?
We'll put it on your list.
Yeah, right? Thank you. Thank you so much. Number two for you, Tom.
All right, number two is, I'm going to say technically for this year. It was a film that came out last year on YouTube Red.
Oh.
Which means it really came out this year when it hit iTunes and was on disc and stuff. But there's a movie.
I know this one.
You know what I'm talking about. A movie called Bodied, which is it's a look into the underground battle rap scene.
Oh, yes. I do remember hearing about this. I haven't seen it.
It's got some of the tightest writing, the most offensive jokes you will ever hear. And in the same way that Jojo Rabbit deals with some topics that make you really uneasy, this show, as a white guy, this movie as a white guy makes you feel really uneasy because it's all about cultural appropriation.
Yeah, right. Mm.
But it's also on the idea that it's not just the white guy trying to step into that scene that's maybe doing cultural appropriation. Maybe there's some African-American guys who have nice home lives who are pretending to be gangster rappers to look hard.
Yeah, right.
And then pulls back even further of what is the point of all this? No one physically touches one another. It's just name calling.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, it's really, really, this guy's writing a thesis at university about the usage of the N-word within battle rap culture. And so he starts going along to battle rap nights and meeting people and basically asking if he has permission to use the word.
Right.
And that's kind of where the story goes. Okay. It like starts from there it unravels. And when I say unravels, I mean
this. He unravels.
He completely unravels.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
Oh.
Of, you watch someone who comes from a very stoic, put together family, and he's put in a situation where he's encouraged to say the worst things imaginable, and it causes his filters to drop away. And
it changes his character?
Yes. It turns him into a not good person.
Wow. And this is like a documentary sort of.
No, it feels documentary, but it's also like an Eminem, like 8 Mile type of thing.
Is he somehow involved in
it? Yes, Eminem executive produced it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you don't find that out until the very last credit. And it like smashes in there and you're like, oh, of course.
Now I understand what I've been watching.
And stuff like that. Mm. But yeah, just some of the best writing I have witnessed.
Cool.
Yeah. Takes the subject matter as seriously as it needs to and be respectful of it, but at the same time shows just how much it's a frivolous pursuit.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. Okay. So this is up on YouTube.
Bodied.
All right, cool.
Another thing for the list.
Whoa, this is growing.
Speaking of list, we're up to number one now.
Oh, here we go.
Dun, dun.
Did anyone else lose sleep over what this would be?
It's tough for me. Well, you'll know why in a second because I'm just such a big fan of this person and I couldn't. It had to be in there, and I did weigh up whether it would be number one or not. I didn't really think about the order, but then I just thought, nah, I still loved it. Anything he does, I'll watch over and over again. And look, you might guess who it is. I am a Quentin Tarantino fan, and it wasn't his perfect movie. It wasn't his best movie, but I still loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I loved it for just the package that it is, that everything Tarantino-esque
sure.
that he can do to a story, to a real-life story.
He Tarantino'd it.
He does. He Tarantino's things.
Amazing.
And the performance of Brad Pitt in that film, who I still think is one of the best actors going around, was just sublime. Like, he was just perfect in that role. And the visuals, the soundtrack, the only thing we take that was not so great about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is that he doesn't use his skill of one-on-one dialogue enough. Those okay. back and forwards yeah. that he has with characters. He did it a couple times in there, especially when he goes into the cabin and talks to the girl who's protecting the guy in the room, and there's a real cool back and forward back there. That's the sort of stuff we get to know Tarantino for. Back in the day of Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs, where they're just one scene, two people just talking. I love that stuff. But
a Royale, you know, with cheese.
Yeah, yeah. That whole opening to Pulp Fiction is amazing. He's just one of those guys that just changed my view of movies ever since I saw Reservoir Dogs. And I'm always excited to see what he comes out with.
Mm.
And I think it was a bit of a return from Hateful Eight, which was long, a little bit drawn out. It wasn't probably the best. Everyone, I was so excited for that too, of course. But then it just sort of, I just forgot it again, like really quickly. Whereas I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood I keep thinking about scenes That's all the time awesome. And I wanted to keep going back to it. So, yeah, it's a bit of a cheat. It was always going to be in there, but, yeah,
one of my
favorite movies of the year.
Which number of his 10 is that now?
Nine. He has one to go.
Far out.
Which it's so interesting to see if that is actually what he does.
Yeah, I know.
I would love it if he does, because I think he's always said it, 10 films, that's it. So
it's a famous thing.
It's causing him to maybe drop out of this Star Trek that he's been writing and possibly directing.
Ooh.
He's like, if I'm only doing one more, it's not going out on someone else's property, which is totally fine. Mm. Respect that.
He might start ghost directing.
Yeah, maybe.
it's not me, it's someone else. But actually, it's me.
Squinton, Paran Pimo.
I can see him just pumping out scripts.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But what's his last one? I think I've heard rumors what his last one is going to be, but not
Kill Bill 3.
What? Really?
That's what I hear.
Oh.
He says he's got ideas ready to rumble.
Oh. See, that I feel like that's not big enough for a finish. It's got to be a big finish.
I think there's his loophole, is that he goes and directs a Kill Bill series for Netflix. That way he's not making movies anymore.
Oh, it's a technicality.
Isn't it? He gets to continue having complete creative control.
How does Kill Bill continue?
I have no idea.
I don't know. That's not
my job to work out.
I mean,
Is it just like the yellow jumpsuit is given to Uma Thurman's daughter? And I don't know.
And I presume Uma won't work with Quentin anymore. I mean, I don't know what their relationship's like nowadays.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because things got a little rocky there during Kill Bill, and they were obviously real good mates.
Mm.
But
they stood together against Harvey.
They did, yes.
So I think they're okay now.
All right.
I think that situation made them bury the hatchet, from what I've heard.
That's right. She came out and said all this stuff sort of happened, and that car scene where she got hurt and stuff, I felt, oh, that was a bit full on.
Yep.
Some people don't like Quentin from the whole Me Too era, thinking that maybe he's been involved and stuff. He was good mates of Harvey and all that stuff, and I see it, you know. But I like to think that he's okay. He's just a bit weird.
Yeah.
Likes a good foot.
Oh my God, the feet scenes.
Tell me, Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
Is there a shot from inside the boot of a car?
Hmm.
Does someone put something in a boot and then shut the door on the camera? That happens all the time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is, actually.
Because I missed that out. I missed it in Django.
Yeah, that's a bit impossible.
Hateful Eight, wasn't there? I'm missing it. That's his thing.
There is boots involved. I think there are definitely shots of boots. So, yeah, cars are very much a central focal point of it. You haven't seen it?
Not yet.
Okay.
I will. I wait until I'm in the right mood to deal with Quentin Tarantino's bullshit. It's a nice way of putting it. Like, I love his stuff, but I have to be in the right mood to sit there and let the talky-talky happen.
Fair enough. But it's not as talky-talky as previous ones.
That's what I've heard.
And watch it on a nice big screen.
Mm. Yeah. Speaking of number ones, this one got my number one because it was so hyped for so long and I went, all right, I'm going to jump in to the hype, and
I know what it is.
Each episode, it has made me just as excited and happy for it as each other one. It's The Mandalorian.
Hey.
Yeah. I've really, really enjoyed it. So much so that I have listened to the soundtrack several times.
Yep. And you've gotten me to go and listen to the soundtrack.
It's good, isn't
it's
it?
Very good.
It's like country and western Star Wars. Every episode, they drop like a
30-minute soundtrack. You can buy all the songs.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really nice. And you were right, Tom. Because you said to me, that last episode was really good. And we're not allowed to talk too much about it because Abe has said we're not allowed
to. That's right.
I know, I haven't watched it either. But it's my Christmas viewing.
Oh, you're going to love it.
That one Abe's talking about isn't the one. There's another episode, I think, tonight or tomorrow night because they're getting in early before.
Well, just to be on the safe side, we're not talking about it. But I'm just talking about the fact that for something to be that hyped, to exceed my expectations, I didn't think was going to be possible, and it was.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. I think you're going to enjoy your Christmas.
It's great.
Yeah, can't wait. I mean, I've been keen for it for ages, but I didn't want to dive into Disney Plus just yet until I could spend some time on it. And I guess all the episodes will be done now?
No, there's still
was there one or two left?
We've got six this week and then seven and eight to go.
Oh, okay. So,
wait, it was six last week.
So in theory, I could get Disney Plus over Christmas, watch all the seven episodes, and then watch the eighth one when it drops at the same time as everyone.
Yes.
I like doing that.
There's so much good in there. Jeff Goldblum's documentary series is fantastic. He just goes and investigates very specific topics. Hi, I'm Jeff Goldblum. I want to learn about denim. And then, you know, that. Please. And then there's the Imagineering story, which is a six-part documentary on how the Disney parks are made.
Oh, wow.
It's fantastic.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
That nearly made my list. That's in my honorable mentions.
So what's your number one then? Yeah.
Okay, my number one, you will know, and it's been my number one since when it surprise dropped in the middle of the year, but it's a thing called the Unauthorized Bash Brothers Experience.
Oh.
It was on Netflix, and it's the Lonely Island guys, or Andy Samberg from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
This was wild.
And it was them doing a half-hour piss-take concept album in the style of Beyoncé's drops, where she just doesn't announce that it's happening. And it's entirely about two baseball players from the late, or specifically the 1988 season. Real people who were juicing hard on the steroids and covering it up. And so it is a concept rap album with music videos for half an hour about these two guys covering up their lies and not dealing at all with the stresses. Rap music that goes the whole gamut of rap and hip-hop genre. So there are songs that look and feel like Beastie Boys songs right through to crazy trap numbers. And
there's a couple of nice little cameos in it too.
There are some great big stars hidden in there.
How have I not heard of this? That sounds amazing.
It is amazing, but they made no hype.
Yeah, and it was there on Netflix. I mean, I don't think I would have known about it if, Tom, you hadn't said something.
It doesn't say that it's the Lonely Island.
Yeah,
it's called the Unauthorized Bash Brothers Experience. Like, they purposely made it so wanky high concept.
This is your favorite thing of the year.
It is the greatest. I have rewatched this thing. I've watched it two or three times in a night. Like, this thing blows my mind. They spent millions on dollars.
Really?
Million. Like, they've got
this huge deal with Netflix
of just make original content. And this is like what they used to do for SNL with those digital shorts of the thing that was in the middle of everything else that made you go, what the fuck was that? That's what this is. And it is the greatest piss take on artists like Beyonce who are way up their own ass.
Even back in the day, Michael Jackson, like whenever he would release it was always
the production, isn't it?
Yeah, and Molly Meldrum would come on television and present it.
Yeah, he would.
It was bizarre,
There are parts of this where there's no music, but it's them walking around in the woods and like really introspective shots of what is the worth of a man? Is it determined by how many socks he can hit? Sia sings one of the songs.
Oh, yeah, she's in it. Oh, yep. Fantastic. I thought they were taking the piss out of Sia, but no, she's actually involved. That's cool. Because she's anti all that stuff.
She sings.
Yeah.
They have the most unexpected person as Sia yet. You know how they always have different people play Sia in her music videos? She has Maddie Ziegler and all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, what?
Yeah, from This Is Us.
I don't know why, but it works.
It really works. He's wearing a kimono open
I don't understand.
The wig on?
Yeah.
And I don't know why I...
Silk Road.
It made sense in my head when I was watching it, but it worked.
I love that of all the things that it did this year, all the time, all the TV, all the movies, all the multi-million productions and TV shows, a half an hour special, piss take. From a couple of comedians was your number one. That is so
they
good.
Spent millions of dollars. They worked with several different graphic artist houses.
Well, yeah, it sounds like they put a lot into it. You're right.
It is the most convoluted and just such a good joke that is – I'm a big believer. Like something's funny the first time and maybe a bit the second time, but the third through the fifth time it's not so funny. And then somewhere around the eighth it starts to come back, and by the tenth time that's the funniest thing you've ever heard. And these guys hammer jokes in that way that by the end of it you – are so endeared to it. Mm-hmm. I can't rate, like...
You're going to go home and watch it tonight, aren't you?
Anytime I talk about it to anyone, I'm like, far out, I need to Bash Brothers. I have the album on my it's the most listened to thing I have on my phone
I'll be
year.
Watching Mandalorian, listening to Mandalorian. He's listening to that. What are you listening to on your drive home?
Oh, I just listen to whatever new music's come out. I don't have any go-to things. Yeah,
You're not eclectic.
Oh, no, it is. Yeah, I get bored of music quickly. Like, I listen to that. I love it. Yep, great. Next.
Yeah,
next.
Next.
I'm always rotating.
So are you bored of the top five? Shall we get into a Christmas quiz?
Fire out. That went for a while, didn't it?
Does anyone want to throw out just from the list of, like, you can just list any other honourable mentions you had? We don't even need to go
don't
into it.
You
can just fire them off.
Big Mouth.
Oh, good one.
Stranger Things.
Yes. Always Sunny had an episode called The Gang Texts. It was sublime.
Unbelievable. Another Netflix show. Loved it.
Big Little Lies.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched that yet. Mm. The second season.
Mm. Not as good as the first. Mm.
Booksmart.
Mm.
Oh.
Mm. Great movie.
It was very funny.
And no one even mentioned Joker.
No.
It doesn't deserve it.
Oh. Oh. Here we go.
Fighting words.
Any others?
Nah.
Oh, well, I'm just going to list them off.
Go on.
Jasper and Errol's First Time. Remember that one of the two guys trying out stuff from different cultures is a nice way to put it. I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, which was a Netflix very short form comedy series. It's 17-minute episodes.
Yeah.
Very awkward stuff.
I feel like I watched one of those.
Probably. Yeah. It's good.
Felt awkward?
Didn't watch more.
There was an album by two rappers, MC Lars and Mega Ran, called the Dewey Decibel System, and it was them adapting literary works onto hip-hop beats for schools.
That's cool.
It's fantastic.
The Dewey Decibel System.
Mm-hmm.
That's clever.
And so they adapt, like, Moby Dick's not on this album, but there's 1984 and, you know, take all these really great songs. Last year did an album about Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He's a weird guy. Frankenstein's Monster Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
With David Harbour.
Ooh,
he wrote a song. It was a comedy Netflix special of him.
He was
investigating his own father's.
But his father didn't, like.
It was weird. It was very, very weird. The Bon Appetit reboot where Be Real now hosts a weed cooking show. That was pretty cool. What Just Happened with Fred Savage. Remember that happened? A piss take of after shows?
Jeez, I forgot about that.
Mm.
And then Ron Funches finally had a special called Giggle Fit, and Jimmy Carr put out the Best of Ultimate Gold Greatest Hits, which is a very, very wanky name.
This is such an insight into your brain, Tom. This list, I love it.
It's good.
I've intentionally gone for stuff that no one else is going to put on their lists this
year. Yeah, it's the way to go. I love it.
I want to share. And my moment of the year. Does anyone, like, I want to throw it out. Does anyone else have a moment of the year? It might be something from an episode that sticks with you. And I didn't bring this up earlier because I want it to be the first thing that comes to mind.
Hmm.
Of what's something that stuck with you this year?
Olivia Colman in The Favourite, losing it whenever music would be
okay.
Played.
Yeah, right.
That's what came in my head.
I thought I was in Parasite, that the brother and sister perched above a toilet trying to get Wi-Fi reception from wherever they were getting it from. And it's just this shot where they're just like, it's just so perfect. Millennials desperate for that Wi-Fi.
Can't cope.
For me, it was Cap holding a hammer.
Captain
America holding a hammer.
Yes, nice.
That's just I can't think of anything that made me cheer more than that. And look at that. I didn't mention once. Oh, no, I did when we talked about Star Wars.
Yeah, but only.
Yeah. I didn't put any superhero nonsense on my list.
I'm amazed.
Thanks. Took some restraint.
Wow, you did well.
I waffled there, but I just worked on my list.
Yeah, you had to get it out there.
I normally do such little work for this show.
Now you can sleep.
I don't really do little work.
No, he watches a lot of things.
I make it sound like I do little work.
He watches a lot. All right, this quiz is called What Christmas Movie Were They In? So I'm going to give you the name of an actor.
Okay.
And I'll preface it with the fact that one or two of them may have been in a couple of different ones.
Oh, of
so
course.
If you can get them. Okay. But you guys are working together as a team, so you'll be able to get it. Let's kick it off with Dan Aykroyd.
What's that? Is it Trading Places? Where he's a Santa.
Yes, with Eddie Murphy.
Ding, ding, ding. And he's really like poor on the side. That was a great movie. I like Trading Places. What a movie.
I haven't seen that one.
I'm sure he's been in more though, Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, one from maybe the 2000s.
Was it with Matthew Broderick? No, that's Danny DeVito.
No, it was a family sort of comedy.
Family comedy. Oh, is it one of those the whole
Christmas
family gets
with
gets
the
together.
Cranks.
Yeah.
Cranks. Is it Christmas with the Cranks?
Yeah,
that's the one. I hated that movie.
That's pretty bad.
So much.
He was in it. What about Zooey Deschanel?
She's an elf.
Mm.
Of course she is.
She's an elf. She sings the song.
She sings. She does a Christmas album every year with Him and Her, which is her group, with her and M Ward.
M Ward.
Him and Her. Is it Him and Her?
I think so. Yeah.
They do like a Christmas tour and album like thing every year.
I love it.
She used to be married to Death Cab guy, right? Death Cab Cutie?
Yeah, not anymore.
God, what an indie princess, pixie goddess thing.
Yep.
Hugh Grant.
Love Actually.
Yeah, nice. That was very good. Great. What about Alan Rickman?
Well, he's in Love Actually too, but you're talking about Die Hard.
I'm talking about both of them.
Yes. He's a Christmas movie specialist.
He really is. He's busy.
I would also throw in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire because there's a lot of the Yuletide ball.
That totally counts.
Right. I will put that in
totally
there.
Totally counts. This one will be easy. Billy Bob Thornton.
Bad Santa.
Nice one.
I do love it.
Finally, I think you guys should say this together. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hey, who told you you could eat my cookies? I need a Turbo Man.
Oh, who was the other guy in it?
Sinbad.
Sinbad, that's right.
Oh, Sinbad. What
and the neighbor was Phil Hartman.
Oh, really?
Yes, he's the guy that goes and eats cookies. He's then he went, hey, buddy, I just thought I'd pop into your house and help your wife hang the mistletoe.
Get out of my house.
I'm dealing with Santas. And if you want to see some random Santas, that movie has the guy who's known as the Big Show from wrestling.
Ah, Big Show, yeah.
I believe Vern Troyer.
Really?
They're really different.
Yeah, that's a bit different.
Vern Troyer, there's a serious mix of...
Wow.
I feel like Vern Troyer's in another, because he's an elf, right? I mean, like, he gets used as an elf maybe Elf? Vern Troyer in that?
I'm pretty sure he was. Peter Dinklage has the main role in it.
He wasn't an elf.
Oh, sorry, okay. Maybe
he was an angry author.
Yes, he was not an elf.
Oh, I loved him in that. That movie was Jingle All the Way. Sorry, I don't think we did say that.
Everyone just knew.
Talking about the movie.
Turbo Man.
Yeah, well done. That's the end of it. Well done.
Good work. That was a good quiz. We smashed that one out.
Yeah. And we smashed those top 17 or whatever they ended up being. That was brilliant work. Mick, thank you so much for coming.
No worries. Thanks for having me and really enjoyed being on this year. It's my second time and third time soon.
Third time on Boxing Day. That's it. That's going to be a crazy one. Make sure you definitely subscribe so that you can get that episode because it's going to be crazy. We're going to have heaps of people. Some people you've heard before and a few new voices as well. It's going to be a movie game show.
Whew.
It's going to be wild.
Can't wait.
Mick, thank you very much.
Thank you. See you.
Tom.
Don't tickle me. I'm full of Christmas cheer.